This is a free recording by Cambridge Qutbus, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. Qayyima لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصيهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين صدق الله العظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran O mankind, a lesson has come to you from your Lord and there has come to you a joy and there has come to you from your Lord that which is good news for the believers and guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is telling us of a joy that is on its way, that is coming. Farah. And elsewhere we find word. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ Say, by the grace of Allah and His mercy, let them rejoice in this. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ It is better than everything that they gather up. The meaning is clear. Everything that we gather up in this worldly life, the true joy is the rahmah and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This principle of joy, of good news, of rejoicing, is fundamental to the message of the Holy Qur'an. The joy that has come is the joy of Allah's book, and the bearer of that, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bushra lana ma'ashar al-islami inna lana min al-inayati ruknan ghayra munhadimi. Good news for us, people of Islam. We have a care from our Lord and a pillar that can never be overthrown. This good news that comes to us is something that the ulama recommends that we commemorate. In the title of a famous book, Al-Ihtifalu bi-dhikri al-ni'ami wajib. Celebrating the remembrance of blessings is an obligation. To remember and to celebrate Allah's blessings and His ni'am. And what blessing has there been for this ummah and for the story of Bani Adam that is greater and more worthy of joy and rejoicing than the arrival of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If we do not rejoice at this, and at the remembrance of this, then where will we find our joy? Now this principle, something that the ulama have commended, and Ibn al-Qayyim mentions it. This is the leading student of Ibn Taymiyyah. He says, this is a luminous and a blessed night, and to adorn it with beautiful sounds and beautiful songs is something that is preferred on this night. Ibn Kathir says the same thing. Ibn Kathir himself is the author of a mawlid, that is to say, a recital of the birth and the merits of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with, of course, an urging and an exhortation to follow in his footsteps and to adhere faithfully to the sunnah of the chosen one sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This goes back to the original, we could say, the first moment when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrives in Medina, and his arrival in Medina is hailed and celebrated and greeted by the girls of the Bani Najjar with their famous words, "Tala al Badru alayna," the full moon rises over us, min thaniyatil wada. The first words that were heard in the prophetic age in the city of Medina were words of praise, words of song, words of rejoicing, of farah. But it goes back still further. If we consider the story in Yathrib, in the Jahiliyyah, when the city was divided, violently divided, between the Jewish tribes and the pagan Arab tribes. And Hassan bin Thabit, and you know Hassan bin Thabit is the greatest of the prophetic poets. He is the one who really begins the tradition of Na'at, the tradition of Madh, the tradition of praising the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is one of the respected Sahaba. It begins right there in the beginning of Islam. He narrates, and this is in the Sirah of Ibn Ishaq, and Ibn Ishaq has many amazing things to tell us about the time when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into this world. It was in the year of the elephant. It was on a Monday, and we know that Abu Lahab released a slave girl for Waiba on that day out of joy that there was to be a new boy in his family. And we know from the subsequent accounts that his punishment is lessened every Monday in hellfire as a result of the farah, the joy that he experienced, and his setting free of that slave girl. Hassan bin Thabit was very young at that time, but he remembers, and the riwayah is taken up and preserved in the Sirah of Ibn Ishaq, the earliest of the Sirah writers, that he remembers that kuntu ghulaman yafi'a, when I was a little boy, ibn sab'i sinin al-thamaniya, I was 7 or 8 years old, aqilu kulla ma sami'at, old enough to understand everything that I heard, id sami'atu sarikhan yasrahu bi'a'la sawtihi ala atamati Medina, when I heard one night somebody, a Jewish person, crying out from a rooftop of Medina, ya ma'shara yahud, O assembly of Jews, hatta idha ijtama'u lahu qalu lahu waylaka malak, until when they came to that man who summoned them and they gathered around him, they said, what's up, what's going on, what's wrong with you? Qal tala al-laylata najmu Ahmad, and he said, this night the star of Ahmad has been born. This is in the books of Sirah. This is part of the remembrance of Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi, the great Sahabi who is famous for Na'at and Madh, and whose attachment to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it were, begins the first moment that the Holy Prophet enters this world. This is part of his sharaf, part of his nobility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with that foretelling of what was going to be, this transformation that was going to take place. And it seems that the Jewish people, or many traditions within the Jewish people, were already expecting something. The Jews in Medina had an anticipation. Some of the ulama say this is to do with verses in the Hebrew Bible, famous text in the book of Isaiah about the rider on the camel, that many of the ulama interpret as a bishara, good tidings of the arrival of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's also in the book of Deuteronomy a prediction that there will be, speaking to Moses, a prophet from your brethren, which is interpreted as being the brethren of the Jews, in other words, the children of Ishmael, not of Isaac, a prophet like unto Moses. That is to say, somebody who will receive revelation, who will have a book. And many other bisharas, and because the text of the Old Testament is of often mysterious authorship, we can't really make too much of that. But that anticipation was the air. And we also know, much more recently, from the discoveries of the Dead Sea Scrolls in the 1940s, a Bedouin Palestinian shepherd stumbled across a treasure trove of ancient Jewish documents put together about the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and then after the Romans destroyed Palestine, just lost in the cave and abandoned there for 2,000 years. And one of the most remarkable things about this community is that they are waiting for something. They believe that a transformation is on the way. The world is in a mess. The Romans, with their pagan ways have despoiled the land of Palestine, but there are to be two deliverers. One of the Dead Sea Scrolls is called the Damascus Document, and it says there will be two messiahs. This is the word that they use. There will be the priestly messiah and the lay messiah. And the priestly messiah will be challenged by somebody who they call the evil priest or the lying tongue. But his message will be subverted by somebody who comes very soon after him who lies about his message. A lay messiah, that is to say the one who's not in a priestly line, he shall also be a deliverer, somebody who will rescue the people from oppression and from idolatry. That's in this Damascus document, and it reflects some ancient sense amongst the Jews that there were to be two messianic figures, two great saviors, two prophetic restorers of the ancient Abrahamic purity. In any case, what we know is that the arrival of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the great transformative dawns in the history of humanity. We know that after he comes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing is to be the same again, and that the Abrahamic principle, which began so long ago as a small spark in a forgotten desert, is now to catch fire and to spread across the whole world, so that now it's a quarter of the planet, apparently, is from the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such is the power and the energy and the resilience of this risala, of this message. But there's another thing in these stories that always strikes me, which is that when you look at the story of births and the beginning of a transformation that's going to be a new prophetic age, in the Qur'an and the Hadith, there's always the principle of motherhood. When we speak of the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the birth of any great figure who is to be a prophet or a saint, the mother is always an important figure. And the mothers of these important figures are to be signs. The mothers of these important figures are to be ayat. And they are not just faithful believers, but they're also prayed consistently in the Qur'an as very strong and active people. This is not just some latter-day political correctness. This is what the texts say. It's essential to the vision of the Qur'an and to our understanding of it that we see the role that these women are playing. We think right back to the beginning of the story in Mecca, the story of Hajar and Ismail. And Hajar has had to leave the household of the patriarch, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And she is there with her helpless child. And it looks like a death sentence. She's been sent out into the desert with nobody to look after them. And she doesn't just sit down and bemoan her lot and just wait for the inevitable end, alone in this valley where there is nobody else, nothing growing, just hot desert. Wadin Khayridi Zara, a valley without cultivation. She is constantly looking for water. And she goes, as we know, back and forth between the hills of Safa and Marwa. Why? Because of her love for her child. This most fundamental and beautiful of human emotions, the mother's love for her child, which is about the most selfless and pure love there can be. A love between a husband and a wife, or a son and a mother, or whatever, in older years, can have certain other motivations behind it. But the love of a mother for her child, she has nothing to gain from the child, at least not for who knows how many years. It's just pure, unrequited love for this helpless being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within her and then in her hands. And so Hajar is going back and forth seven times between Safa and Marwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears her and looks upon the beauty of her maternal attachment to her son, and the miracle of Zamzam takes place. You could say that Zamzam is her well. When we drink from it, we imagine the extraordinary symbolism of the fertility that is brought to this valley, which is now home to so many people and visited by so many more people, as a result of what? Of her faithfulness, of her determination to do everything that she could against apparently hopeless odds to defend her child. So the Sa'i is her ritual, and the Zamzam, in this sense, is her well. It is because of her. And that is, as it were, the fountainhead of the whole story of the Ishmaelites in Mecca and subsequently Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a beautiful story. And again, if you look at, say, the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, another of those amazing iconic stories, he seems to be even more helpless and hopeless. He's been cast out on the river, and that seems, it seems inevitable that he will drown or be eaten by a crocodile or something, but doesn't seem to be much chance. But he is found by whom? In Allah's poetic justice, the wife of the Fir'aun, who says, "Qurratu 'aynin li wa lak." She's walking beside the River Nile with her ladies-in-waiting, her maids of honor, and they find the baby. And she says in her feminine maternal heart, "Qurratu 'aynin li wa lak," a delight of my eyes and for you as well. "La taqtulu," don't kill him. We know that the command has gone out. The tremendous trauma of the people of Tawheed to kill all of the sons of the Israelites because of Fir'aun's fear that there will be some restoration, some liberation amongst them. This is the survivor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his kaid, in his ruse, is placing all of the hopes of that later great story of Tawheed in the person of that little baby, and the one who brings it about is Asiya bint Muzahim, who is, in the hadith, in the sound hadith in Bukhari, described as one of the perfect women, one of the kamilat, one of the women who has no faults, who is just perfect in her form. And look at what she's doing. "Asa an yanfa'ana," she says in the Quran, "perhaps he'll be useful to us. Aw natakhidahu wala," and we will adopt him as a child. "Wa hum la yash'urun," and they don't know. So she's doing it kind of surreptitiously. She wants the child. She's craved a child for a long time. Here is this beautiful baby. And in her maternal love and purity of heart, she is adopting this child who is going to be the Ali Fir'aun for the family of Fir'aun, Aduwan wa Hazana, an enemy and a source of sorrow. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. And again, we find the beginning of this great story. What is there? There is a mother's love. And the most famous case in the Holy Quran is, of course, Surah 19, Surah Maryam, which again portrays the woman not just as some kind of passive receptacle, but as somebody who is strong and is prepared to do some defying and to think for herself and to take risks. And indeed, what could be more helpless or hopeless than the woman who is out in the desert? She is conceived, she is pregnant, there is a scandal waiting. But what happens? She says in that misfortune, "Inni nadhartu lirrahmani falan ukallima al-yawma insiya," I've vowed a fast to the all-compassionate God and I won't speak to anybody on this day. She comes into the town, she has the baby in her hands, and they said, "Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuka mra'a su'in wa ma kanat umuki baghiya," O sister of Aaron, which is to say that she's from the priestly line, ukhta Harun, an Aaronite sister, because they are, perhaps as the Dead Sea Scrolls indicate, from the priestly caste. "Your father was not a bad man, and your mother was not a harlot." She can't say anything. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ, she points to him. And they say, "كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا," how can we speak to somebody who is a baby in the cradle? And then, of course, the miracle happens. Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salam, speaks and says, "Inni Abdullah, I am Allah's slave." It is through her determination, her courage, her following of the commandment to go back into the city, to face the music, despite the inconceivable odds, and because of her determination that she's not going to wander off into the desert and die with the child, but she wants the child to survive. Because of that beautiful maternal love, that great story becomes possible. And one of the things that Sayyidina Isa says when he's in his mother's arms, "وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي," and "I am faithful and good to my mother." "وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا أَصِيًّا," and he hasn't made me a tyrant and a disobedient person. That contrasts, incidentally, with a picture in Mark's Gospel and Luke's Mark Gospel, where very often we see, to our surprise, Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salam, portrayed as being rather rough and indifferent to his mother. Passage, I think it's in Luke's Gospel, where a woman cries out to Jesus alayhi salam and says, "Blessed be the woman that bore you and that nurtured you." And he says, "Rather, no, blessed be the one who hears the word of God and obeys it." Very often we find that there is that jafat, that harshness attributed to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam in these texts, but not in the Quran. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, and good, kind, faithful to my mother. That is one of his qualities, because it is one of the qualities of the Anbiya. So when we look at these birthing moments, as it were, the beginnings of these stories, we find these incredible women, these perfect women, Sayyidatna Maryam, Sayyidatna Asiya, and so many others who are, as it were, giving birth to these extraordinary possibilities and showing what they and their kind and their genders and believing women are capable of. We see the beginning of something new. That is how things have to be. Now, as a result, we're not surprised that given the fact that the Quran tells us so much about how these good beginnings begin with these good women, so also the honouring of mothers becomes one of the watchwords of Islam. Anybody who visits a fully traditional Muslim culture will see how people respect and honour and venerate their mothers. Famous hadith of Hakim bin Hazim, which is in Bukhari, a man came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, "Man ubil, who should I be kind to and obey?" And he says, "Ummak, your mother." "Thumma man, who then?" "Who after that?" "Ummak." And he says it three times. "And then, abak, then it's your father." This is the famous principle of al-jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. The garden is beneath the feet of mothers. Very high degree. And the birthing itself, which is the uniquely female experience, which is celebrated in the Quran, in, for instance, the Surah of Maryam, a hadith says that when a woman experiences labor pain, she shall be given for each one of her contractions the reward of giving, of releasing a slave, which is a high thing to do. It's a noble thing to do in the Sharia. Each one of those contractions, she receives that reward. So this is a very high thing in our religion. And we see, at the birth of Islam, we see people like Sayyidatna Khadija, radiallahu anha, very strong, interesting, unusual personality, who marries the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she is celebrated in the Qur'an. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. In Surah Al-Duha, Allah found you poor, and he enriched you. And that's a reference, according to the Mufassirun, to his marriage with Sayyidatna Khadija, radiallahu anha. He was poor and didn't have financial opportunities. She was a wealthy merchant, and through that, he experienced this type of dhina, or independence. كَذَا خَدِيجَتْنَا الْكُبْرَ الَّتِي بَذَلَتْ أَمْوَالَهَا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَمْتَصِرُ, a famous poem by Imam Busiri. Similarly, Khadija, the greatest, who spent of her wealth for the sake of Allah's Messenger until he was victorious. Khadija al Kubra, he says, "Oh Khadija, the greatest." Another of the tremendous, powerful figures that are at the beginning of our history and our story, and without whom it's unimaginable that it could have come to the fruition that it did. So the point of this is that at this time of year, we remember and we celebrate the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is a public holiday in the majority of Muslim countries. But all of that leads on to what? To remembering who he was and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him for this uniquely powerful, transformative risala, and how we follow in his footsteps by remembering the sunnah, and how we follow the sunnah as the best and the most faithful, and in fact the only sincere way of truly and profoundly following the sunnah of the chosen one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and expressing our love for him. Because without true following and obedience, there isn't really love. You can't claim that you love somebody if you don't do things to please them, to follow their way, to establish, to follow in their commandments. It doesn't make sense. You can't love somebody and then disobey them. So the truth of our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in this ta'ah, is in this obedience, which is only to be found in following as carefully as we can and as lovingly as we can in the footsteps of the chosen one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as part of that sunnah, let's not forget the role of these mothers, of these ummahat, who do seem to play such a fundamental role in the Qur'an and in sacred history, and that pure thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, the miracle of pregnancy, the miracle of motherhood, the miracle of that pure and unalloyed love, is something that we need to respect, as we respect our mothers, and as we respect those who are called to the very high maqam, the high degree of motherhood in our community. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد، وإياكم محدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا، وعافنا واعف عنا وكلنا حيث كنا. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام، ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله والصمة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.